WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The president and first lady are expected to travel to New Orleans Monday to visit the scene of the New Year's truck attack. ABC's Christian Cordero's in New Orleans with the latest on the investigation into that rampage that left 14 dead.
Investigators say that the unexploded IEDs recovered from two coolers in the French Quarter were made with a very rare explosive compound that also contained a remote detonation capability. The FBI now warning every law enforcement agency in the country of potential copycat attacks.
And one copycat concern centers on the funeral services for former President Jimmy Carter. They begin today with a private service in Atlanta. Next week, a national service at the National Cathedral in Washington. President-elect Donald Trump says he'll attend. He's also been ordered to appear in person or virtually for sentencing in his New York hush money case next Friday. The judge signaled that Trump will be sentenced to an unconditional discharge. No jail time. This is ABC News. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy is calling for stronger warning labels on alcohol. He says that's because of the new research that highlights the link between alcohol and cancer. He says the warning label should be similar to what's on packs of cigarettes. That would require an act of Congress. Congestion pricing will take effect beginning tomorrow in New York City.
The state of New Jersey tried at the last minute to stop the tolls from going into effect on Sunday, but it didn't work. The judge not only denied the request, but the judge also denied the request to have extra time to appeal his decision. This means that around 12:01 Sunday morning, it will cost drivers extra to head south of 60th Street. The price changes depending on what day, what time, and what type of vehicle you're driving.
That's ABC's Dan Krauth in New York, and JetBlue facing a $2 million fine from the FAA for operating an unrealistic flight schedule. The federal government says from June 2022 to November of the next year, the airline operated four chronically delayed routes. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
As the new year begins, activists are asking lawmakers and officials to figure out how to prevent school shootings, like the one that happened just weeks ago in Madison. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
While Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has called for a holistic approach, advocates say prevention starts with stronger gun laws. Lindsay Nichols with the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence says the state could require universal background checks for gun purchases or raise the age for gun possession.
We know that some of these shooters are young people themselves. And there are plenty of policies, for example, to keep guns out of the hands of youth. These are laws that some states have passed and some haven't. We need action from our lawmakers to protect our kids.
She says other options are to pass a red flag law or strengthen legislation on firearm storage. Giffords ranks states on a scorecard for their gun laws every year. Wisconsin most recently received a C grade. Nichols says time and again, they found the stronger a state's gun laws, the lower its gun death rate. And the weaker the laws, the higher the gun death rate.
We know that these gun laws work, and there really is no reason why legislators shouldn't be taking action to prevent these tragedies.
While Wisconsin has enacted basic gun safety laws, she notes the state could also pass bans on assault weapons or high-capacity magazines or lengthen the waiting period for a firearms purchase. Despite public pressure for new gun safety laws in 2020, Wisconsin has not passed any significant gun legislation in years. Democrats have tried unsuccessfully to introduce at least 30 gun safety measures since 2019. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A cold first weekend of January. A decent amount of sunshine, though, that's the one saving grace. Highs near 8 today, 4 below tonight, and highs near 10 on Sunday. Wind chill values throughout, though, in the teens below zero. Right now, 2 below.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the inauguration of the Wisconsin State Senate and Wisconsin State Assembly and look forward to what's ahead in 2025. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for another week of the Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. This week, we made our way into the new year after a few days off for the holidays. Unfortunately, during our time off, a lot of very respected people passed away. We're going to kick off with part of Monday's show where our friend Matt Flynn called in to talk about the passing of State Senator Tim Cullen. Give it a listen.
Wisconsinite, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome in an all new live show after being out for a couple of days last week. Hope you enjoyed our year in review, What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. It was nice to be off for a couple of days. Happy holidays to each and every one of you. Belated Merry Christmas, if we haven't told you already. Happy Hanukkah for those in the middle of celebrating. Happy Kwanzaa and Happy New Year. Mr. Zomers, welcome back.
Welcome back, Todd.
It's nice to see you and nice to be here live. Missed being behind the mic, but it was nice to have a couple of days off as well.
Yeah, same here, but behind the board.
Right, exactly. Lots to talk about today, lots to catch up on. If you missed it, and would not blame you if you did, over the weekend, the mega leadership seems to be in an internal civil war of sorts over immigration. Going to let you hear it in their own words. Rather entertaining to hear Steve Bannon going after Elon Musk, by the way. And also, over the week, Vivek Ramaswamy, who is now in, you know, the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiencies, along with Elon Musk. Apparently the news of the weekend was who is more important on Saved by the Bell, the old 90s TV show. Who are we idolizing? That's what's on Vivek Ramaswamy's mind. We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Also the seriousness of the issues, of course, of the politics of the day. And we have a what's worse for you in hour two as well. Your phone calls, 855-752-4842. All that and more. But first of all, to kick off our week here on December 30th, our friend, ongoing contributor. He's a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and a great author. Our friend Matt Flynn joins us live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Matt, happy holidays to you, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, good to be with you, Todd. Good to be back on the show, and happy holidays to you, and happy New Year.
Yes, happy New Year. Do you and your lovely wife Mary? You seem like, at least back in the day, you'd dress up, go to big parties in Milwaukee, and stay up until the sun comes up. What do you do on New Year's, Matt?
Well, what we're doing this time, go out with a couple of couples, go to an Italian restaurant. I love Italian food. Mm-hmm. And probably be back in the house at 10 o'clock and may not stay up to watch the ball. I'm not kidding. Drop in Times Square. May not stay up.
Maybe
that's
in bed.
Very different 50 years ago. Believe me.
Right. I'm sure it is. Well, Matt, it's always, by the way, thanks for filling in a couple of weeks ago while we were traveling. I listened to the show. You did a great job. And I know our listeners always enjoy having you back on the show. So we'll have to have you do that again if you're so willing. First of all, how are you feeling, Matt? How is your health?
Well, reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Well, I'm
still great.
Good. I'm glad that you're feeling well. I mean, I say this, you know, only half tongue in cheek here. Look, we were off for a couple of days. I'm going to run down a list of people who, just notable people who have passed away in the 5 days we were off here. Today, Linda Lavin, the great actress Linda Lavin, TV's Alice, and of course on Broadway as well. The great sportscaster, broadcaster Greg Gumbel from CBS. A former Republican state senator, George Petak. Of course, if not for him, we would not have the Milwaukee Brewers, most likely in Wisconsin. My very dear friend, we're going to talk about him in a minute, former Senate Majority Leader Democrat Tim Cullen of the state of Wisconsin passed away rather after a short illness here this last week. And then, of course, we found out yesterday, Matt, that former United States President Democrat Jimmy Carter passed away. And I thank you for coming on a late notice. And I wanted to give your reflections on a couple of these people. Let's start with former President Carter. Of course, he was a one-term president, and many people talk about his post-presidency being a great success. But I was heartened today, Matt, to hear some of these folks talking about the fact that, you know, because of the hostage situation in the 80s, the Iranian hostage situation, inflation, energy crises, some of the good things that Carter got done get vastly overlooked. I just wonder if you could give us your reflection from a personal and also as a Democratic leader, your reflections on former President Carter on this day.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Carter, and I met him and his wife and his son, Chip. In 1978, Mary and I were invited to the last party that he threw at the White House, a holiday party, December of 1978. Because I'd been the Democratic nominee for Congress in the old 9th District, which is now the present 5th District, against Jim Sensenbrenner. And Rosalynn Carter came out and campaigned with me in a senior center. Chip came out at Benji's, a terrific deli in Shorewood, north of Milwaukee. So we were invited, and we went out there. And I'll tell you what, you talk about black tie and all that sort of business. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful, beautiful event, many hundreds of people. And he was a man of absolute unnegotiable integrity. And let me tell you something. Everybody talks about Habitat for Humanity and all that business. He brokered the peace accord between Egypt and Israel that has stood to this day and has ensured as much peace as there can be in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely monumental. He also was the first guy to call attention to climate change. He put solar panels on the White House. And the final thing I'll say is, he was bringing us out of this recession, and the hostage situation, you know, what was he supposed to do? He could have bombed Tehran. That would have killed the hostages, but they were released right the day that he left the White House because the Reagan administration, incoming registration, had been negotiating with him secretly and asked him to hold them till after the election. So let's cut all the baloney out. Nixon did the same thing in 68. Humphrey and Johnson were at the Paris Peace Accords, and they said to the Viet Cong, hold off, screw the Democrats, and we'll come in and we'll be a little better for you. Mm-hmm. So you got to understand the full nuances of history, Todd. You have to understand them.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to have you here, because you do that better than anybody else I certainly know and could call upon, and we appreciate that. When I think of Jimmy Carter, Matt, I think first word that comes to my mind is integrity. Somebody who had just an abundance of integrity, seemed not to have a dishonest bone in his body, and maybe almost to a fault when it comes to having to hold the White House. Somebody who was humble and had a lot of humility. And as you said, accomplished quite a bit as president, although I think history is starting to be kinder to him. Started the Department of U.S. Department of Education, Department of Energy under his watch. And but I think I heard a clip of him today, one of his first speeches. In fact, it may have been his inaugural speech at his inauguration, where he used the phrase, we have to come together, we have to work together, and we have to pray together. He was a man of great faith. And I think that, you know, that's something in today's Democratic Party. It seems like, unfortunately for some, there seems to be this attack on faith. Carter really made it as a Southern Democrat, a Southern Baptist Democrat, a cornerstone of who he was. And Matt, agree or disagree, I think it was his authenticity that allowed him to bring his faith into his presidency.
Yeah, I totally agree. He wasn't some kind of a, you know, a Tartuffe that was pretending anything. Mm-hmm. This guy lived it, and he was a hard worker, and he also had absolute integrity. I think if it weren't for Carter, it would have been harder for Clinton, for instance, from Arkansas to win in 1992. And I have to get back to everything he did accomplish. He accomplished a massive amount, but he didn't have Reagan's personality. He didn't mm-hmm. display ego. He had plenty of ego. He was a nuclear submarine officer, and Admiral Hyman Rickover's corps of new people coming into the nuclear fleet after the Second World War. This guy was an engineer. He was top notch, but he didn't wear it on his sleeve. He didn't go around sticking his chest out like Trump or even like Reagan, for that matter.
Right.
And Reagan was a more experienced guy because of Hollywood. So people, I think, made a mistake voting Carter out.
I remember as a kid in Southwest Wisconsin in Richland County in 1976. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Carter won Wisconsin in 1976. Am I right about that, Matt?
Right, he did. But right. What happened was one of the newspapers went on and said, you know, Mo Udall wins Wisconsin. Right. It was sort of like Dewey beats Truman.
Right.
No, I still have the papers. Right.
But I right. think one of the point that thanks for keeping me honest on that. I would argue, and correct me if I'm wrong. You were, you know, I was 10 years old. But I remember Jimmy Carter doing a grassroots boat tour. He rode the Mississippi Queen down the Mississippi River and made a campaign stop in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, in Southwest Wisconsin. And my grandparents and family drove, you know, an hour from Richland Center to Prairie du Chien to go to see Carter campaigning in 76. And I think that grassroots campaigning is largely what helped him connect to people in rural Wisconsin.
No question. And the other thing was, he was a peanut farmer, and a lot of the farmers in the 3rd Congressional District, remember back then Al Baldus did yep. well, and those kinds of people.
Yep.
The farmers respected him, and it was just like Harry Truman. No one expected Harry Truman to take Wisconsin. Carter took Wisconsin, and the reason they took them is they were authentic, and they were hardworking, and there was no nonsense.
Yeah, I guess looking at, you know, applying that to today's politics, and you can't live in the past, obviously. Things change. We have to adapt. But I certainly think there were lessons from Jimmy Carter's presidency that I think would be applicable and helpful to winning in today's Democratic Party. Yes or no?
Yes. And not only that, it was unnegotiable integrity. He came in after the Nixon criminality and after he was pardoned by Gerald Ford, and people wanted to clean out the corruption. After Trump in 2028, they're going to want to clean out the corruption. And I think a Democrat has a good chance. And I think it's going to be somebody with unnegotiable integrity.
Yeah. And also somebody, there's a great article. I'm not sure. We're going to try to get to it today, Matt. Just pulling it up here. There's a great article in Politico over the weekend on Brian Schatz, the Democratic, U.S. Democratic senator from Hawaii. And he makes this point in this article that the Democrats need to start sounding like normal people. And he uses that phrase. And I thought, for a Democrat to say that, that's extraordinary. And it's about time. Really?
Right, right. Because what's coming out with this kind of identity politics thrust that's taken over our party's nominating process is that people don't see it as authentic. Mm-hmm. And if somebody were to come out, and they will in 2028, we're going to have a lot of candidates, and just talks plainly, talks exactly like Harry Truman or Jimmy Carter.
Right.
And tells it like
or,
it is.
Or quite frankly, well. Whether we like it or not, like Donald Trump, he might not mean it, but he's blunt like the guy at the end of the bar. And I think that contributes to his success.
Yeah.
So come on.
You can tell when Donald Trump is lying, it's when his lips move, okay? I mean, this guy's not even remotely authentic.
He's always Matt Flynn. Stay with us. More Matt Flynn's remembrances of Tim Cullen. And what's he working on in the book field? Back after this.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Are you 50 or older? This news is for you. The CDC now recommends you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at risk. People 50 or older are over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults 18 to 49. Just one shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. That's VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for this week. Here's the rest of the conversation with Matt Flynn about the passing of Tim Cullen.
Who is wrong? Who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show and Matt Flynn direct on a Monday, December 30th, 2024. Our friend and ongoing contributor Matt Flynn joins us on the show here for the first part, talking about some remembrances, of course, of former President Jimmy Carter, who passed away yesterday. And Matt, always great to have you along with us. We appreciate you being here. Another good friend of mine, a person who I called my informal boss, because although I worked for Republican State Senator Dale Schultz the last 3 years or 4 years of his term, he had a very close friendship and political alliance with former Democratic Senator, or now former, but then Democratic State Senator Tim Cullen. Both of them had been former majority leaders for different parties, but Senator Cullen and Dale worked on a lot of bipartisan legislation. He was just last on this program back in September talking about his new book, Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters by Tim Cullen. And was saddened when I got the news on the 23rd. He had a brief illness and passed away, I believe, of a heart-related condition. And didn't really tell anybody. It just kind of happened. At 80 years old, he sure didn't seem like he was 80 years old. I know that you knew him as well, Matt Flynn. Your remembrances of former state senator and majority leader Tim Cullen.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. Todd, he and Dale, your boss, is a guy that I had a lot of respect for, too. But Tim was a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. He was the majority leader. He was active in the Senate when I was the state party chairman. He had high unnegotiable integrity in himself. He was very, very good at what he did. He served as in the state Senate on two occasions, came back for a comeback. Back about 15 years ago, he was in municipal office down in Janesville. He was a quintessential public servant, very honest, very likable. When he ran for a majority leader, he had one opponent, my namesake, Jim Flynn. I don't know if you remember him. He was the then governor. And he beat Jim Flynn. And Jim Flynn was a friend of mine, too. And I was partial to his last name, frankly. But
sure you were.
I told Cullen, I said, But Cullen was a good man, and I didn't see him half enough, quite frankly. But whenever I did, he was very smart, very honest, and very hardworking. And you can only hope to have people like that in either party in our state legislature.
Yeah, we're going to play some cuts after the bottom of the hour of our conversation. Like I say, Senator Cullen was last on this program back on September 9th. Talking about this book and other reflections. And it was a privilege to work with and for him, even though, again, my main boss is a Republican. I was essentially helping his staff, Jim and Kelly, and my condolences to them as well. And quite frankly, my last round in the state capitol working for a Republican the last 4 years, most of my friends who, other than our own personal office, outside of our own personal office, most of my closest friends in the Capitol at that time were Democrats and those that worked for Senator Cullen. You know, and he was, as you said, a smart guy, a compassionate guy, a really funny guy, by the way. One thing he didn't talk about a lot, although he would on occasion, he and his wife lost a son back in around 2008. He was going to UW-Platteville Engineering School and died suddenly. And that was really the impetus, in talking with him a little bit, As you said, he after state senator, he served in Tommy Thompson's cabinet as Health and Human Services Secretary. A lot of people don't know all the changes and things that he did to improve that institution in the state of Wisconsin. Then went into the private sector, I believe worked for Blue Cross and Blue Shield, then came back to Janesville and ran for school board. And then after his son passed away, decided to, you know what, I really need to get back in and make a difference. And that second round where he really fought with Dale on fair maps and made a difference.
Yeah. He had tragedy in his life, but you know something? He had a full life. He had a lot of friends. Yeah. And you're right, he was very funny. He was very personable. That's how he got elected, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, voters have to like you. But once he's in, he was magnificent. Dale Schultz was too. There were there was a generation of legislators back then who did Wisconsin proud. And unfortunately, I'm not seeing that right now.
Yeah. We're going to talk, we're going to play some of these cuts after the bottom of the hour of our conversation with former Senator Tim Cullen, who passed away this past week at the age of 80. About 2.5 minutes left, Matt. It is the holidays for those of our folks who are Jewish celebrating. We're right in the middle of Hanukkah, by the way. If you're looking for a Hanukkah gift, Matt Flynn, you're an author. Well, I'm not sure they don't have stockings at Hanukkah, but maybe what can you set next to the dreidel?
Yeah, I want to promote one of my books, and thank you for permitting me to do it, China Code, by Matthew Flynn. China Code. China Code, if you want a thriller, but very funny, it's been described as a comedy, where communist Chinese assassins come to Wisconsin to murder a math genius, Bernie Weber, who has broken their code because he has solved some mathematical problems. And the Latino and Black gangs of Milwaukee rise up to take them on. If you want to see a book.
And comedy ensues.
I don't know anything about the Black. Yeah, and believe it or not, it's comedy. I mean, do you know anything about the Black and Latino gangs? And I don't think you do.
No, I've only through the book. It's great. It's a great read.
Right. And, yeah. Well, look, I thank you, but it's really catching that. Yeah. So if you want to be one up, and put it in your book club, guys.
I mean, all right.
But China Code by Matthew Flynn. I'm a Navy veteran, so I'm able to throw in some military things and so on. But I like the book. A lot of people have praised the heck out of it. And it believe it or not, it is a comedy. Here's a spoiler alert. It comes out okay. Bernie doesn't get killed. Okay,
okay, very good.
But the truth of the matter is, if you want to see Black and Latino gangs in Milwaukee take on Chinese communist assassins, this is the book for you, especially if you like comedy.
Quick question here, Matt. Tom and Jackson, if you can make it really quick, we got less than a minute. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm hoping you can put to rest. I thought I'd heard that in the election of 80, the Republican, that behind the scenes, they had gone to the Iranians and promised them something. I don't know what, if they would hold the hostages until after the Democrat lost Carter. And I'm wondering, is that true or not? Because that dissuaded the election unfairly.
Matt, 45 seconds.
Yeah, it is true. And I don't know that it swayed the election totally. It certainly turned it into a landslide. I think Reagan was picking up steam. But that said, yes, that happened. And it happened with the Viet Cong back in 1968. The Republicans will fool around and they communicate them. And I don't know what they promised them, but the Iranians did not like Carter.
Yeah.
They did not like Carter. They were Muslim fundamentalists.
We always
and Reagan played footsie with him. You're absolutely right.
Well, we always like you, Matt Flynn. Thank you so much, my friend, for taking time for us. Happy New Year to you and your lovely wife.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Doug.
All right. Thank you. Matt Flynn, wherever books are sold, come on back.
Up next, we're going to skip ahead to Friday's show and our conversation with Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bombs World, about the weirdest things that people have done in the last few weeks. Enjoy.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The president and first lady are expected to travel to New Orleans Monday to visit the scene of the New Year's truck attack. ABC's Christian Cordero's in New Orleans with the latest on the investigation into that rampage that left 14 dead.
Investigators say that the unexploded IEDs recovered from two coolers in the French Quarter were made with a very rare explosive compound that also contained a remote detonation capability. The FBI now warning every law enforcement agency in the country of potential copycat attacks.
And one copycat concern centers on the funeral services for former President Jimmy Carter. They begin today with a private service in Atlanta. Next week, a national service at the National Cathedral in Washington. President-elect Donald Trump says he'll attend. He's also been ordered to appear in person or virtually for sentencing in his New York hush money case next Friday. The judge signaled that Trump will be sentenced to an unconditional discharge. No jail time. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Another win for Marquette. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles with a 79-71 win over Creighton. In Milwaukee, Cam Jones led the Golden Eagles with 22 points. Head coach Shaka Smart.
This was a hard game. Creighton, they make things difficult in a lot of ways on both ends of the floor. Another sellout crowd on a Friday night, Fiserv Forum. Where else would you want to be? We had some really good possessions as well.
In Madison, the Badgers blew out the Iowa Hawkeyes 116-85 at the Kohl Center. John Blackwell with a career-high 32 points. NBA, the Bucks at home tonight against the Trailblazers. NFL, it's the Packers and the Bears in Green Bay tomorrow at noon. Chicago hoping to snap a 10-game losing streak, but last week their defense held Seattle to just 6 points.
Edmonds, Sweat, the D-line, Jalen Johnson, they've got a lot of great players, and they're playing extremely hard.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I am meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A cold first weekend of January. A decent amount of sunshine, though. That's the one saving grace. Highs near 8 today, 4 below tonight, and highs near 10 on Sunday. Wind chill values throughout, though, in the teens below zero. Right now, 2 below.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so, saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, it's Monday, so our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, will join us. Plus, it's January 6th. The counting and certification of the electoral vote is scheduled to take place. Tune in. We'll be wild.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to
the Todd. Thanks for sticking with us for the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for this week. We're going to go back to Friday's show, and Peter Rapine, managing editor of E-Bombs World, joined us. As always, he has his finger on the pulse of the craziest, weirdest garbage that people do, and these stories should help lighten up your weekend. But just before that, we listened to the moment that we discovered Mike Johnson held on to his position as Speaker of the House. Enjoy.
Has been elected House Speaker. That's how quick things move out there. Just take a four-minute commercial break and it's all over. Mike Johnson got two of the Republicans, two of the three that were holdouts, to flip their vote to him. And so now Johnson has 218, Hakeem Jeffries 215, one member still voting for someone else. That means that Mike Johnson has secured a majority of those present and has been elected Speaker of the House. So there you go. Crisis has been averted so far. A little drama here gave us something to talk about for the first hour. But, you know, again, for the institution, for the working of government, probably better just to have a neat ending to the day out there in D.C. Again, Johnson is elected Speaker of the House, 218-215, with one Republican member voting for somebody else. 35 minutes now past the hour, 1 o'clock.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up
time once again for Week in Review with our friend and ongoing contributor, Peter Rapine. He is the managing editor of EBOM's World Summers. What in the world did you dial up? I got to believe that it's not make the Mike Johnson playlist on Spotify. What was that?
Well, Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot, of course.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yeah, I forgot. Oh, yeah. Very good. Peter Rapine, welcome back to the show. Happy holidays, my friend. Great to see you. How you been?
I've been great, Todd. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's to you.
This first story is going to be a nice follow-up to the Speaker of the House news.
All right. And it ties in a little bit. All right, what do you got, Peter? Let's get right into it again. Just for people who have not heard this segment before, these are actual headlines from actual events, real human behavior, not fiction. These are actual things that your folks at EPOM's World scour the internet for and report to us.
Yes, and we'd like to have a nice mix of things happening on the internet and things happening in the real world. Mm-hmm. This first story is something that you can only get online because the internet, I think, is only a place where stuff like this can kind of fly.
Okay.
Headline reads, woman makes beautiful cakes, then sits on them. And this is... a
woman
fetish.
Makes beautiful cakes and then sits on them. Go ahead.
And so this is a fetish TikTok account called Cakes on Cakes, where a woman makes a beautiful cake. Clearly she has some like baking history.
Yes.
The first 30, 40 seconds of any video is her decorating the most gorgeous cake you've ever seen. And then it ends with her sitting on said cake and squishing it.
Now, to play the role of my mother for a minute, she would ask, she's listening to this. She'd say, now, why would somebody do that?
The better question is, who is watching these videos?
Yes, I agree 100%. Not that somebody's doing it, but that people are actually watching this.
And if anyone listening is over the age of 30 and has been online a long time, they'll probably remember a website called CakeFarts.com, okay, where a woman used to do a similar thing, but she would also fart on the cakes. That's not happening here. She's just sitting on
no those. Flatulence involved.
No, zero.
It's only the song is appropriate that Zomer's played to come into the segment because she has a rather large posterior. It's very nice. I'm not judgmental, but she's not a slender posterior person.
No, she really earned the handle Cakes on Cakes. It's not false advertisement by any stretch.
And I'm watching this video right now that you've linked in your story on EPOM's World. And this isn't somebody that's just making a Betty Crocker mix cake. She's a real baker. I mean, she's going to all this work to put the different layers of decoration on there. I mean, she really is a very talented baker.
Yeah, if anyone listening is familiar with the genre of video that is known as the hydraulic press genre, where people put marbles or cans in between the hydraulic press,
oh,
and then
yes,
you watch it slowly get crushed, It's like that, but her body is the press.
But with cans, I kind of get it. Because it's like, oh, well, it's like Letterman dropping stuff off of the old NBC building or whatever. Mm. You want to see it once it...
Well, in this case, will it float?
Yes.
She filled it with a bunch of goop. I mean, do you want to listen to some audio from the video? See how it turned out?
Sure. Why not?
Welcome back to another episode of Cakes on Cakes, where I take those two big gumdrops there and we crush some cakes with it. But first, you got to make it. And today's cake is inspired by I don't give a f- because I did not want to make a cake. I was on my period. I was just not in the mood. But I thought I would use that as my muse for today's cake so I would have content to be made. Yeah, she came out pretty solid. But now that she's done, you guys know how it is. We got to go ahead and crush her. Goodbye, buddy cake.
She is now sitting on the cake.
I'm not going to lie, because I had to freeze it, it did not goop out as much as I did wanted, but it's whatever. It's done. All right. Well, until next time, guys.
Dave in New Berlin asks, so you can see cellulite imprints in the frosting? Yeah, you actually can again. thank you for that audio, because that really made it for me. I love somebody who's forthright and just says, I'm on my period. I didn't want to do this, but I got to make content.
It's a grind out there. Right? Everyone is grinding, yeah.
Right.
And she does wear clothes. She is wearing yoga pants in the videos. So if you go on the site looking for something else, you're not going to find it.
It's not porn. It's just
no. But yeah. It is a fetish.
I guess it might be a fetish. Cakes on cakes. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely a fantastic way to start off, Ray Pine. What's your next headline at EPOM's World?
So our next one is actually a local story for you guys. Mm. News headline reads, news investigating murder may have accidentally interviewed the guy who did it.
And before we go on, this is real. And I said to Zomers before we started the show, when you sent this or CP sent it, we live in Wisconsin. Why had I not heard about this? And it says this is real. News investigating murder may have accidentally interviewed the guy who did it. Go on.
So the news stories from October, a dead body was found wrapped in a tarp, and a clip has come out of a man being interviewed. Yes. And I believe that he is now one of the prime suspects in the murder.
And this happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we have one of our stations. I shouldn't be laughing, but a dead body discovered wrapped in a tarp in the middle of a park in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And go on, one of the local news crews interviewed a man on the street type of thing.
And it turns out that he was one of the people who allegedly sent a tip into the police about the murder. And I know they say that typically like serial killers or people that do things like this like to be involved. Mm. They like to watch the case kind of get solved. Do we have audio for this one too, Aaron?
All right, here we go.
Just a block from the Waukesha County Courthouse, across the street from Frame Park, a body was found in the wooded area behind this small apartment building.
It's bizarre. It is bizarre. You wonder what's going on.
Conrad Leishvik was heading out of his building yesterday when he noticed police outside. A neighbor told me a man doing yard work for the building found a body wrapped in a tarp.
Going back just a little bit further.
Deb Hernandez lives up the hill from the apartment building, and her property includes some of the wooded area behind the apartments. Her first thought, like Conrad's, is this is somehow connected to the homeless people they see living in Frame Park.
We're so close to the river and everything.
This is the third body in the last month found in the city of Waukesha. September 6th, police say a man accidentally drowned in the river in Frame Park. On October 27th, a homeless person was found dead of natural causes on the Glacial Drumlin Trail. Police say this death is considered suspicious. However, they don't know how the person died or who the person is.
I feel like it's sad. I feel like I honestly feel like it's probably the homeless, you know, and I feel like it's a sad situation. Waukesha police say they can't say more about the death except that it is suspicious until they get back all the testing from the medical examiner's office. In Waukesha, Rebecca Clough, TMJ4 News.
So there was the actual cut from TMJ4 News in Milwaukee, television station, interviewing this guy who identified as Conrad Leichwick. It turns out the guy's real name was Kevin Leichwick. And In his apartment, police claim they found, quote, handwritten notes that they believe were a hit list. Peter Rapine, what up with that?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I mean, I guess the police got lucky this time, right? They got some, got a nice hand from the local news. Some people say the news isn't what it used to be, right? Send it my direction.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and obviously it was just, you know, serendipity or whatever you want to call it, but a little eerie, right? I mean, that you know, that would have been like a you know, like a news reporter interviewing Ed Gein. And he said, you know, geez, there's, you know, I had that sandwich down the street. Boy, it did not taste right, as it turns out. Turned out Gein, I mean, come on. All right. That was good. A little Wisconsin flavor. No pun intended. Very good. All right. Next headline, Peter Rapine, week in review here. All these stories can be found on ebombsworld.com. Real headlines from real stories.
So the next story comes to us from the UK. And so there's an issue of church attendance. Church attendance has been falling dramatically in the United States, in the UK, in Europe, around the world for decades. And some churches have come up with a new way of getting people into the pews. Mm. And this church, headline reads, church hosts wrestling match to get people back into the pews.
I love this. Church hosts wrestling match to get people back into the pews. Look, it's tough out there for pastors to get people into the, and this is creative. Go ahead.
Yes. I mean, in the U.S., like the mega churches, they have all the money in the world, so they can hire, you know, flame techs and guys with trucks and guns and you name it.
It's production.
Pyrotechnics up the wazoo. Yeah, they're theater performances.
Exactly.
You know? But in the U.K., the mega churches haven't really caught on, so... Right. Get, you know, ROKing someone is probably the best way to to get someone into church on a Sunday morning.
so they're hosting actual wrestling events inside, but it's not, is it during service or is it just like a side thing? Like come to 10 o'clock, we'll have service followed by a potluck dinner. And then at 2 o'clock, it's, you know, the mask taking on the chain or something. I don't know.
Well, you'd expect them to host it afterwards to get people to hang around. Mm-hmm. But I like to imagine that the priest is the referee and he's giving his sermon as people are like clotheslining each other and kicking each other and punching each other. Yeah.
Wait, and a good pastor, priest, you know, whoever, they could wrap that into the story, the biblical story, right? You know, you could have go ahead.
You could have a retelling of David and Goliath in the ring.
Right?
Who wouldn't want to see that? Yeah, the crucifixion, right?
Talk about young people coming into the church. David and Goliath in real time, baby.
And here comes Jesus. He flipped a table.
Right? Taking on the tax collectors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is what young people want to see in church these days. And God love the British for being, you know, a little ingenious here. Because, and when you say, just so our listeners understand, when you say mega churches, we're not talking about, quote unquote, Trump mega churches, although in some cases that might be one of the same. We're talking
EGA, like right, huge,
like big, these big churches that are, like you say, have budgets of over millions of dollars and bring in they're productions. They're not so much church services as they are productions.
Yes, mega. Yeah, yes. MEGA.
Yeah. Right. I just had to clarify that because the term has kind of been bastardized now. All right, Rafe, let's see. We're coming up on a break here. Going to do a little business, as we say. And then we're going to come back with more exciting and fun headlines from EPOM's World and Peter Rapine. How about that, Rapine?
Sounds great. I'm excited.
The always understated but effervescent Peter Rapine. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
One, two, three.
Kingdom Wrestling for me is this amalgamation, this mesh of faith and wrestling. Any Christian will tell you that when you go through life, you wrestle with stuff. You wrestle with your faith when you face a really tough challenge. How do you see God in that challenge, and how do you continue to remain in faith? And I really felt that wrestling gives us that opportunity to tell those stories. Ah!
Yeah! Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for sticking with us in the best of the Todd Allball Show for this weekend. This is the rest of our conversation with Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World. Enjoy.
From a real church in the UK who, to boost attendance, has incorporated professional wrestling into their church services. One of the great stories you'll find on EPOM's World at EPOMsWorld.com. Managing editor thereof, Peter Rapine, joins us on a bi-weekly basis once again from his beautiful abode in the city of New York, New York. So nice, they named it twice, Peter Rapine.
yes. I love all the things you have to say about me. It makes me feel so good.
Well, good, because we enjoy, you're one of the guests we enjoy because this is why I enjoy having you so much, because you're a real guy. You're just a real dude, and you're not, there's nothing fake about you. And I love real people. Yeah. I love hanging out with
people. I'm touched.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm touched.
All right. What do you, what are we going to get? Want to make sure we get these important, again, these are real stories, not made up. And Peter and his staff stay up through the night to make sure we bring you the latest and greatest. Go ahead.
And this next one, I think we're going to wish wasn't real. I think there are some details that are still kind of fuzzy about it. Headline reads, did these idiot streamers really give Zins to an uncontacted tribe? Right. And if you don't know what a Zin is, spelled Z-Y-N, a Zin is like a nicotine pouch. They come in different milligrams and they're really popular right now. They're kind of like a new thing for vapors. Tucker Carlson loves them notoriously. A lot of people really love them.
Of course.
The Haberman guy is a big fan of them.
Really? Is it an oral thing you put in your mouth, or is it the, you attach it to your body, or what? In the mouth.
So it's like a Nicorette. You kind of suck on it.
Okay.
And you know, it's a nicotine, stimulant.
All right.
But these guys and their names, and they go by the Nelk Boys. They're pretty famous. I know they've palled around with Trump. They've done streams. They're typically the type of streamers that will give their friends $100,000 gifts or Rolex watches or cars.
Didn't Trump go on one of these with some kid and he gave him a watch or something like a Rolex?
He did. Yes. He went on a stream with Aiden Ross, who is kind of a disciple of the Nelk Boys.
Got it.
Definitely inspired by. But this is a YouTube video of theirs where they go to, I believe it's in South America, though it might be in Africa. I'm not 1,000% sure. They don't explicitly say. But in there, you know, 20-minute video of meeting this dangerous, uncontacted tribe. One of the guys whips out a can of Zin and lets the tribesmen have a pouch, as they say.
And where was this tribe at? Or do we know?
I cannot 100% confirm.
Like South America or Africa or what?
I believe so. I believe it might
be
in the Amazon somewhere.
So these goofballs go into uncharted territory with tribes that have very little contact with other human life, and they just give them these Zin pouches.
Yeah.
Just for
giggles. Just for their own giggles, which is clearly... There's a lot going on here.
There's a lot going on.
Obviously, they're making content for like 15-year-old kids. It's funny, right? We gave him a Zin. But those things are pretty addictive.
Right?
If you've ever had one, you're probably going to want another one. Yeah.
And also, what kind of a budget these people have where they're giving out Rolex watches and taking trips to, you know, the Amazon just for content? I mean, we give our guests a bag of cheese. That's the kind of budget we have. We ain't giving Rolex watches out, you understand?
When you're being bankrolled by companies like Stake or other gambling sites, you kind of have an endless amount of money.
That's what we need to do. We need to get a deal with a gambling site.
I don't know about that.
Get the FanDuel money.
Right? The FanDuel. We need to do a show out in the desert with Brent Musburger and FanDuel. That's what isn't he with FanDuel? I think maybe, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
All right. We got 2 minutes left, 2.5. But what do you got next, Peter Ray Bunn?
All right, keeping in line with the gambling, there's a new gambling trend, and this one comes to us from China. Obviously, in the U.S., sports gambling is massive, but there's a new type of gambling where people buy rocks in hopes of finding precious gems. So headline reads, gamblers are now buying rocks in hopes of finding precious stones.
Gamblers are now buying rocks in hopes of finding precious stones. Have I got a bridge to sell you in Brooklyn? Go ahead, Peter.
And it's not quite clear if the videos are all fake or if they're just like engagement or if people have ever actually found a precious stone in one of these rocks, because I haven't seen proof of that yet. But if you go on TikTok, there are countless videos of Chinese gambling guys, which is like boxes and boxes of rocks wrapped up in duct tape. And they like grab a rock and they pick it up and they like give a guy $10 and they run home, open up the rock and put it next to, you know, put it under a saw. And every single video ends in the same way where the guy looks at it disappointed because it's just a rock. Like nothing happens. And you can watch them endlessly, hundreds, there's thousands of them. And we assume they're gamblers, but like, and you can obviously sell a gambler anything.
This sounds a lot like cryptocurrency to me, quite frankly. I mean, it turns out it's nothing, but yet people are buying this stuff. All right.
They are. Yeah.
All right. Well, sadly, Peter Rapine, we've run out of time. We're up against the clock. You always bring us some laughs and make me feel better for having talked to you. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day out there in New York, New York. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Thank you too, Peter.
Happy New Year.
Thanks once again for listening to the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show this week. As always, you can head on over to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get podcasts to listen to the rest of the show from this week. As Todd always says, whatever you do, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday, Mino and the Mayor will talk to Brittany Merlot about these freezing temperatures.
And we'll talk a little Packer football heading into the playoffs. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Slam dunk, Steven Crow hammers it down.
Catch every game all season long right here on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Louisiana Republican Mike Johnson won another term as Speaker of the House after the vote was held open Friday, and during that time, two Republicans changed their votes to Johnson. The process included a phone call from President-elect Donald Trump, but moving forward, ABC's Jay O'Brien says
the Speaker is far from out of the woods yet. He still has that razor-thin House majority, which, as we saw yesterday, can be thrown into chaos by just a couple of members.
Funeral services begin today for former President Jimmy Carter in Atlanta. President-elect Trump says he plans to attend next week's state funeral in Washington. Following day, Trump's been ordered to appear in person or virtually in court in New York for sentencing in his criminal hush money case. Judge signaled the sentence will be unconditional discharge, no jail time. President Biden and the First Lady will visit New Orleans Monday to see the scene of the New Year's attack that left 14 dead. This is ABC News. Investigators in Las Vegas say there's overwhelming evidence that the soldier who killed himself inside of a Tesla that he then blew up on New Year's Day outside of a Trump hotel was suffering from mental health problems.
Trying to dispel conspiracy theories that have gone wide online, Las Vegas Sheriff Kevin McMahill released evidence showing Matthew Livelsberger was by himself and was driving the Cybertruck that exploded. FBI Special Agent in Charge, Spencer Evans.
It ultimately appears to be a tragic case of suicide involving a heavily decorated combat veteran who is struggling with PTSD and other issues.
In a letter found on his phone, Livelsberger said it was not a terrorist attack, but a wake-up call. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The new Los Angeles County District Attorney said he had a productive session with family members of Eric and Lyle Menendez, who support the brothers' release from prison. They were sentenced to life for killing their parents. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being